one of the areas that has been a concern in the Philippines over the time, certainly that we've been there, but actually for several years, has been the impact of the Muslim community in the Philippines, and in particular as it relates to the island of Mindanao. There are about 4 million Muslims of the 77 million that make up the population in the Philippines. And their strongest voice happens to be down in the southernmost island, a very large island, the island of Mindanao. As a matter of fact, there is a recognition by the government, and you may see it referred to in the press, as the ARMM, that's the Autonomous Region of Muslim Mindanao. And it has been a source of tension for the country down through the years. There's been splinter groups that have also been a voice, and they have raised the level of concern by some of their terroristic kind of tactics. They use terror and terrorism to communicate their statements and to communicate their particular convictions. You'll remember in 1991 that commended missionary John Spears, commended from the Assemblies, was in Mindanao in the summer of 1991 for the express purpose of learning the language, because he felt the call of the Lord to minister intimately with and amongst the Muslims, and felt that if he could at least learn the language, he would be more effective in his efforts in working with Muslim people. Well, in June of 1991, 5 o'clock in an afternoon, a Muslim person came up and shot him and killed him. And that was a real tragedy and a real source of discouragement amongst the many missionaries, as well as the assembly committed missionaries, when that event occurred. In a time frame not too far away from that, in early 1990s, we had two Faith Academy teachers who were in that region, but were there for purposes of being on a vacation, being on a break, and they were kidnapped and held for 9 days. These were two female teachers amongst a couple of other missionaries, and that was something that also not only raised the level of concern amongst the missionaries, but was something of a fairly significant news item. But more recently, within the last couple of weeks, and of interest to all of us here, was an incident that happened at our Faith Academy branch school in Davao City, where the local police apparently received some information that mentioned that a school with American children was to be targeted. Now, we don't know the source of what that targeting meant, but it was enough to raise Steve's concern that when this phone call came in, but the phone call came in with the offer, could we come and make a physical presence at your school to make sure that no untoward event occurs. And of course, he was in no position to say no to that offer. But it did raise concerns of the missionary community in Mindanao. The police came. They were there for, I believe, a couple of days. And I'm happy to report that there was no untoward incident that occurred at the school. But as you might imagine, word traveled very, very quickly. The technology that we have available to us via email today allows us to be in really rapid communication. And we had all kinds of little twists on the story as it went from person to person through email. But as far as I understand, and the things that have been reported to me, that incident occurred, but there was nothing of significance attached to it. But it sure does raise the anxiety levels and the tension amongst the communities that are affected. Of particular note, and I mentioned earlier this morning, Dana Danielson, whose primary work is carrying on some of the things that began in Palawan, the island of Palawan, he has felt the Lord call he and his wife to work amongst the Muslims in Palawan, so much so that he has built a very modest structure, a place to live. And Lord willing, when he returns in October, anticipates living amongst and working with the Muslim people there in Palawan. So we make these matters and bring you up to speed on these matters, knowing that you'll join with us in prayer. The Muslim population is a significant population. They're small, but it's a significant population. And remember to pray for the work amongst the Muslim people. Thank you.
I shared Monday night with you a few of the activities of one of our missionaries in Turkey. And again, there's a Muslim influence in that country, a country that does enjoy religious freedom on the books, but at the enforcement level, it's quite a different story. One of our missionaries had trained to be a prosthesis orthotist and used that as his point of entry to get back into Turkey, a land that he had been concerned about, a people that he was wishing to serve. And that became his work permit, and with that was able to also get and continue a residency permit. He had that along with a visa there where you have to go in and out of the country and you're only a visitor, but now he's in there on quite a permanent basis, and that's a young fellow, John Berger, and his wife, Jennifer. The study of prosthesis and zeroing in on this particular medical trade seemed a little unusual for the kind of work that they're, you know, the outreach into what they were concerned about very specifically with the Kurdish people. But when he came back to this country and did some studies, he stationed himself in up in the East Orange and into a Kurdish community just so they could work with the same people that they were addressing over there. Brother John has worked in a hospital for a while. And strangely enough, the hospital, governmental assistance just wasn't there. Government-run hospital, but they weren't interested in, not him, that wouldn't be the problem, but in the department. They weren't even helping themselves. We find this kind of unusual, although I guess our government doesn't really help us unless they're going to be directing us. But then again, John is within this trade, and while studying in this country, he studied in Hershey's Medical Center over in Pennsylvania and worked on his American certification there. Should I come back? Should I take the time away from the mission field and study to get this certification? Really, if I'm not going to be in the United States, I really don't need American certification. Now you all have heard of the earthquakes and everything that occurred along that fault line that runs all the way across northern Turkey. And the quakes seem to keep moving closer and closer to Istanbul. That recent one took many lives, and what it created were a lot of amputees. And so, you can't see this 4 or 5 years ago, but the desire in the young fellow's heart was to learn that trade, and now today, that's exactly what's needed. Are there others that could do that? Yes, but can they then give the gospel and be able to reach the unsaved? You can go out into your neighborhood, you can talk a little bit, but it's a little difficult in a very tight Muslim country to openly discuss biblical things, the Lord Jesus, and so on. But with the help of Roger Malstead and his wife Yvonne, they've settled up in Yalova, you know, by the earthquake zone. Again, Roger had considered coming back from London to get back into the field of service in Turkey, had anticipated going back to the city of Yalova, and was about a month away from doing that when the earthquake hit. He decided to go back to that same area anyway. He settled up there. And the work that goes on there, Roger has quite a tent city set up and is working with the refugees. But Yvonne is able to meet with these amputees, those that need a limb, an artificial limb or two, and there has to be some interview, there has to be some background and understanding, so you have a very personal conversation one-on-one. And what a perfect opportunity to be able to share then, one-on-one, with just the field, the mission field that you wish to approach. A field that was, it would be a bit difficult. If a people that's individually open will listen, but afraid to make any kind of a decision, and yet here they are in a totally different environment now, brought on by tragedy in their lives in so many cases. And so the gospel, they're able to get the gospel to them through the interview process. John, and right now, this month, has an assistant over there, an assistant. It's a fellow doctor from the Hershey Medical School is going over to work with him this month. And his wife Grace, has stayed down in Izmir to be with Jenny and her kids. The field of operation is up in northern Turkey. John is based down in Izmir, and that's where they have a small clinic set up. So he drives about 7 hours to get to the earthquake zone and does sittings and so on, then comes back down to Izmir and makes the prosthesis. And they go back up and they fix them, and there's some a lot of rehabilitation and training and some of this kind of thing that goes on. But they make the round trip a couple times a month. And this is an ongoing situation. Some 20-odd limbs have been made so far. An open door. Just the assistance back to the peoples of Turkey through the Christian community. Not just our own missionaries, but through the Christian evangelical community has frankly embarrassed the Turkish government to the point where there's a lot of little incidents that have occurred. A backlash against the Christians. They've shut some of their chapels. They've gone into Christian assemblies and arrested all the folk 15 and over and taken them right away. Taken them off to jail and leave the kids there to get home or get out some other way. Closed up, sealed up the chapels in some cases. Then as time has gone on, a couple, 3 weeks later, they open the chapel up again. They take the seal away, but then forbid them to use it for any kind of biblical or religious service. But I think probably we could focus on little instances in Turkey, and then we see other instances in India, in Sudan, and in our own backyard, of the efforts of Satan to just thwart the work of the gospel wherever he can. And we're I don't think we're just more mindful of it, or communication is so much faster that we hear a lot more. I think you have to sit back and observe that Satan is a lot more active as he sees that day approaching, that day of our Lord's return. So I just leave that with you to be prayerfully in mind of a young fellow who is in a trade that is being used of the Lord very, very directly in a way that 5 years ago we never dreamed of.
There's been in the last few years a number of natural disasters that have occurred throughout the world, and a major tidal wave in Papua New Guinea, hurricanes, earthquakes, not only in Turkey, but Taiwan, and also volcanic eruptions in various areas of the world. And just recently, last fall in India, a super cyclone that actually devastated the area, some of the areas in India. And there's been so many natural disasters, and just recently in the news, we've had, Mozambique, mentioned, the flooding, in Mozambique. Mozambique is, on the east coast of Africa, the Indian Ocean, coast of Africa, just north of South Africa, Swaziland, and then Mozambique. They've experienced tremendous rain in the past month, and in Mozambique it's still raining. My own son-in-law, as most of you know, has been in South Africa for 30 years. It says in his 30 years in South Africa, he's never experienced the rain that they've had this summer. Of course, their seasons are reversed. So it's summertime there in South Africa. He said the rains this season have been the worst he's ever seen. But we, in Mozambique, there are two missionaries. There's Carl and Glenn Peterson. And Carl and Glenn Peterson attended the first missionary orientation program we had in 1992. They had known each other before, but they saw each other in different eyes at the missionary orientation program. Things developed from there, and they were married. And now they're out serving the Lord in Mozambique. And there's another couple, Patrick and Grace Malenga. They are Zambians working in Mozambique. And just yesterday, we got a email from Carl Peterson, and I'd like to read most of it to you. Thank you for your prayers for our trip to the city of Chokwe. Chokwe is about 100 miles north of the capital city of Maputo in Mozambique. one of the areas most affected by the floods in Mozambique. Four of us left early Wednesday morning, laden with various helps to distribute among the people from our church there and their neighbors neighbors. The destruction we saw in that major city was vast. A mud line over 2 meters high from the ground on every building and house showed us to what extent the waters had covered the city. There was not one shop or bank in the town that was left with anything in it redeemable, of redeemable value. And he said that the only thing remaining of our chapel was the, in one of the poorest areas of the city, was the corrugated sheet roof, which was donated by one of the chapels in Colorado. And when they finally got there, the saints were so relieved to think that they weren't entirely forgotten. They welcomed me like their long lost brother, and were very relieved that they had not been forgotten. We entered the chapel, sang a hymn of thanks, and knelt in the mud to thank the Lord that none among the 20 families in the congregation had lost their lives. We all returned to the place where the car was stuck, and we distributed clothing and other goods. They had lost everything. And yet, as the believers approached the car, they were singing one of their favorite hymns, "There is nothing in this life but Jesus, our Shepherd." We were among the very first people to arrive in the city, where not much help had been given directly to the people outside the many refugee cottages and camps. And they returned to Mobutu. He goes on to say they returned to Mobutu, and that they are preparing to collect more foodstuffs. And what has happened, of course, is that everything has been destroyed. The crops have been destroyed. And one thing that happened in this area of Chokwe, it was not so much the rain, but he goes on to say the problem of flooding wasn't the direct rains that fell on their heads, but the flooding that came from the upriver when in Zimbabwe they were forced to open the sluice of the dam on the Limpopo River. I asked why they had not warned the people downriver to flee, and they had warned the people, but they figured it would not arrive until the following day. But the waters arrived during the night when everyone was sleeping, and a lot of people were washed away in the floods that occurred. Two major rivers that flow from inland Africa into Mozambique. One is the Zambezi, and the other is the Limpopo. And between the two, there is low-lying areas that is easily flooded. And that was one of the major problems in Mozambique. But pray for not only the Lord's servants that go into these areas to try to help not only the believers, but the community. Because what a testimony it is when they can get in and help some of these neighbors of the Christians and show Christ's love and compassion. And in the Philippines, when Mount Pinatubo erupted a number of years ago, Paul Harvey and Dave Johnson were some of the first in the area with relief. It's a major concern when some of these disasters occur, and we need to join together with one another to help our brethren and sisters in Christ that at the very best have very little. So remember them in prayer, please.
One of the questions that we had put to us on several occasions, and I'll phrase this as one missionary gave it to us, since CMML doesn't charge us missionaries for what they do, and since they never ask for money, how are your operations paid for? We just want everyone to understand that it is a ministry of faith. CMML looks upon itself as just another servant of the Lord. The Lord wants us to function. He will exercise the hearts of His people to contribute to our expenses. We're very thankful for those that do. But we would point out that unless something is specifically designated for expenses, or unless we've had some indication from the donor that they wanted to go there, no money is ever put in our expense account. Only what is so designated. Some people send it for general funds. And in many places, when you say something for the general fund, that goes into the expense account. But that does not happen at CMML. We look to the Lord to provide for our needs, and as He meets our needs, we can do more as He gets more. But we're very thankful for those that help. I'd just like to tell you briefly, too, about a few of the funds we maintain and let you know that there are some brochures on the freebie table that will acquaint you with some of these funds. We already heard the disaster fund mentioned, which was started some time ago, when it was decided how beneficial it was to have funds on hand when the emergency struck so that we could get them to the missionary right away before black market operations and things like that set in. So we have the disaster fund, and you don't have to write and ask, do you have a disaster fund for this place? Did you have a disaster fund for that place? We have a disaster fund, and where the needs are from natural disasters, we're ready to distribute the funds immediately. We recently established a fund for man-made disasters, such as Kosovo, things that went on there, so that we can make funds available to the missionaries that can be a testimony to the love of the Lord and the love of the believers around the world and helping them, and we have the man-made disaster fund. Then we have the Missionary Education Fund. That's a fund that exists to assist the missionaries with the education of their children up through high school. There's a great number of children on the mission field. And twice a year, based on a survey report circulated by Fred Barno, the MEAF secretary, why funds are distributed as available to help with the education of the children through high school. Then we have a widows and retired missionary aid fund. Here again, you know, our missionaries are not on any pension plan, and so we distribute as the funds are available, sometimes three times a year, sometimes twice a year, whatever funds we have had contributed for the widows and retired missionary funds, or if we have some discretionary funds and we feel there's a real need, we'll make a distribution from that as well. We have an emergency medical aid fund. This is to help with a medical emergency that happens to missionary where there's no funds available to do anything for them and they need help. And so people have contributed to this. This was started by a lady in honor of her birthday. Somebody gave her some money and she said, give it to help some missionary in emergency medical aid. And so we've been operating that fund for a few years. Then we get memorial funds in lieu of people that have gone home to be with the Lord. Instead of sending flowers, why they send a contribution to the memorial fund in their name. And then we will let them know who contributed to the memory of their loved one and also send a card to those that send the contribution and let them know. We have Bible funds. We have two Bible funds. One Bible fund where the donors want the Bibles distributed absolutely free of charge, and then another one where the donors don't mind if the Bibles are sold at a small amount by the missionaries. There are some areas of the world where the missionaries feel they have to get something or the Bibles will just be ignored, but then there are others that have the feeling that they want the Bibles given without charge. So we have all of those funds, and we have some escrow funds. We have been very active in that in this last year end with the stock market going up and people realizing how they could get a better tax distribution or tax deduction by giving their security to CMML and getting a tax receipt for the full value of the contribution. And sometimes they're not ready to make the full distribution if it's a sizable amount. And we will do for that. We'll put the money and hold it aside for them pending their future instructions. So if you have any questions about it, I'll be outside around the book table for a little while, and the brochures are there, so please pick them up. Thank you.
That portion of our conference, and I tell you this twice a year, when we would like to just perhaps change pace a little bit,